You are more powerful than you know. So this is your more powerful than you know, part three. We've been talking about that word knowing, and we've got a couple of scriptures here that we drew from. Remember Matthew 11:25, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. That's a term of praise. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And what was this that made Jesus leap around and spin? Was this knowing? He knew the Father knew him. So it was about this knowing. And then, in Psalms chapter 2, watch how fast I can go there. I'm there. And then my Bible messed up again. Oh, there it is. I'll figure this out. Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 is a picture of the cross. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, this is the picture of the cross, guys. I know David wrote it, but it was prophesied. This is when the people got together and said, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. This is when they would say, we'll not have this man to rule over us. We have a king, even Caesar. And then I love verse 4. It says, he that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, vex them in his sore displeasure. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but we think a lot of times about God's wrath is a picture of our wrath just multiplied. But the God, he spoke to them in wrath. I'm going to tell you, the wrath of God was the resurrection of Jesus, who stood there and none can deny. That's the wrath of God. See, we think God is like us. We've created God in our own image. So if I'm mad and I'm raging, then God's mad and raging has just multiplied what I... But God is love. Yeah. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong here. God is angry at sin. He doesn't get angry. It's his set be. Because sin is what keeps you and him separated. You know, it's that rage that we were talking about Wednesday about, remember, and we mentioned this way before, it's that rat in the baby crib gnawing on the baby. And the rage goes in there and gets that rat out. He said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his displeasure. And this is God speaking here. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's God speaking. And then Jesus speaks. In verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Do you ever hear those things? I mean, 1 John 3 talks about this. I mean, have you ever heard those words? I will declare the decree. The Lord has said it to me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. He declares the decree. We talked about the decree last week. The decree is that thing that cannot be changed. It's that thing that cannot be broken. When the kings made their decree, Daniel had to be thrown in a lion's den, even though the king didn't want to, because the decree went out. Whatever the king says can't be changed. Jesus says, I declare the decree. And in the midst of that, he says, here's the decree. He says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I don't know if you get a hold of this or not. I just want you to think today. Just think. Let your mind stretch out a little bit. Let your heart grab a hold of this. Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, a man just like you and me, has ascended to the throne of the universe. King of kings, Lord of lords, a man just like me. Listen, Jesus knows what it feels like to have his back hurt. So I'm not going to him with something he doesn't know about. He knows. Jesus knows what it's like to deal with kids. He knows, you know, because he's dealt with me. He's dealt with the whole world of raging lunatics just like me. So he knows what it's like. So when I go to him, he knows. He knows. And see, remember, this knowing is this great joy that Jesus had. I know the Father, and the Father knows me. There's a knowing here, and I'll never forget that there is a man ascended, sitting on the throne, and that man, to that man it is said, ask of me. So we, and the reason I say that, and the reason it's so important, is because what is the dynamic of knowing the Father? And if you'll stay with me here today, because, okay, knowing the Father, does that mean reading the Bible? Does that mean going to, Bible class and studying about it, doing all these courses? Because Jesus didn't take a college course. You know, Jesus didn't do any of that, yet he knew the Father, and the Father knew him. So there is a dynamic working out of this knowing. And the dynamic heartbeat, the working out of this knowing that brings great joy, is found in ask of me. I know you got to let that twirl around a little bit, because we're thinking it's something, but it's ask of me. This asking is not just something that we do when a crisis hits. Okay, it's way more than that. Yeah, sure, we ask when a crisis hits. But it's way more than that. Asking, it's the beating heart of this relationship that we have in Christ Jesus with the Holy Trinity. Ask of me. So we got to look at this word, ask. I mean, is it like going to the great Walmart in the sky with your great shopping cart want list to go shopping in heaven and get all your buggy full and then come back down and spend it all when you need more groceries, you go back? That's not it. Is it the SOS that we send out in the time of trouble, in the time of need? Is that it? No. Do you realize that we are in Christ and Christ is in us? We are one in him. Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Christ is in the Holy Trinity. Therefore, you and I are in the Holy Trinity, and there's a conversation that goes on. You've been included in that conversation. Do you realize? I mean, these are just little notes, but I love how they interject into the Bible, because God says, you know what, I'm going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah, but will I do anything without telling Abraham? I got to go tell my friend. I got to bring Abraham into this conversation. See, I know we look at it as 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, all these other things, but I'm taken back by the fact that God has got to go talk to Abraham about it. What do you think about it, Abraham? It amazes me. And Abraham, in that had conversation, he began to reason and beckon with God right here. There was a deepening of the relationship that was taking place. See, I can't know the Father until I can snuggle down in the word ask. And you know what, guys? This goes right at the heart of what hurts us the most, and that's our pride. I told you, you know, it takes... Our pride's got to get out of the way before we even ask anybody to pray for us. I mean, it does. I'll get through it. Because we believe the lie. I'll handle this relationship. I'll handle these kids. I'll do this. I'll handle it. And then when it starts beating us down, we send out the help. Until we can snuggle down in the ability that I can do nothing. But through Christ Jesus, I can do all things because He strengthens me. So I can't snuggle down into this until I can snuggle down into the word ask. This song too was a prophecy, guys, a prophecy. You know, a prophecy that spoke about something that was going to happen 1,000 years later. David wrote this. David was 1,000 years before Jesus showed up. And then on top of that, nobody else talked about asking the Father until Jesus came. And then, you know, we read the story over there in John 14 and 15 when all this takes place. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. He's in the upper room. They're having their Last Supper. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of go over the Last Supper, the details of it. But John gives us the conversation. And imagine this. This is your last meal. You are fixing to go to the cross and die. So I've got some urgent things I have to tell you. Some things that can't wait anymore. You've asked me questions before and I've told you I can't tell you you're not ready to bear them. But right now, even though I know you're not ready to handle this, but I just thank God the Holy Spirit's going to come here in a little while. And then you'll know in that day, He says, you'll know. Right now, I'm going to tell you I'm in you. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and I'm in you, and you're in me. Right now, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll know. Yes. And in that day, I'm telling you guys, Jesus stepped up and said, in that day, ask of me whatsoever you will in my name, and the Father will give it, and it'll be joyous to all. Jesus takes this 1,000-year-old prophecy and brings it to life right there in that upper room. While they were taking of this communion and passing the cup and the bread around, Jesus said, ask. You see, we think about asking, but, you know, we ask for something from a beggar standpoint. We don't ask from the point of union. Because right before He says ask, He said, here's how this relationship is. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Vine and branches, that's one. You can't tell where the branch begins and where the vine ends. They're one. I mean, they're so united that the very life that is in the vine is manifested through the branch in the thing called fruit. So much so, now this may knock your socks off a little bit, but so much so that Jesus makes this statement and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, guess what? The life of Jesus will be so manifested that if they see you, they'll see Jesus. Now listen, I didn't say you was Jesus, but do you understand what I'm saying? You're not the Christ, but you're one with the Christ. It's mind-blowing. So one with Him that if they see you, they'll see me. Jesus said so much so that, you know, when I have these oak trees in my yard. And in that oak tree, do you know that every branch in that oak tree is named oak? There's not a hickory branch in that oak tree. There's not a sycamore branch in that oak tree. They're all oak. There's not an apple tree branch. There's not an orange tree branch. They're all oak. They have one. And Jesus said, you're so one with me. You have my name. See, we think it's a tagline that we got to put on the end of our prayer. When that oak tree is standing there, the life flows through every branch. Even if it's a little old bitty branch that's this big, the trunk of the tree is this big, but that little old branch, and all of a sudden out comes an acre. So this very same life that's down here in the roots flows off, goes even to that little old bitty one. And then here comes an acre. And the squirrels jump around in it, and the birds of the air fly in it. He says, my name is attached to you. We're one. So I got to ask this question. Now, this asking, because this is something I struggled with for a long time. If God knows everything, why ask? I mean, doesn't the scripture say he knows your very needs before you even know how to ask? I used to think, well, then why ask? Why even pray? We got to be honest with ourselves. If God knows my needs before, God, you know what I need. But he's telling us to ask, but have you ever come and see, it'll hurt your prayer. It'll do away with your prayer. Well, God knows what I need. Do you? I mean, sometimes it's got to get down to the point where here's what I need. I mean, if God is all powerful, then, you know, here we are in the middle of a situation and we think, well, God's all powerful, he knows what he's doing. And so the word ask, guys, has got to be more than some pop-up request. You know, you ever get on the internet and get these stupid pop-ups? So we're just going around thinking pop-ups, requests, pop-ups. Hey, this would be good, this would be good. You know, pray for this, hey, yeah. I'm talking about the desires of your heart. And you know, we talk about these things a little bit on Wednesdays. Sure, we have some prayer requests, but we got some prayer that is gnawing in our guts that will not go away. You know what I'm talking about. For this, you may be praying for that, but this thing just draws you back, and that's where it is. And God is saying, ask of me from that desire that's down there. I hope you get what I'm talking about right here. Now, this was a joy to Jesus. You know, it was a joy to Jesus that he knew the Father and the Father knew him. And this word ask here, it's, you know, the Greek was such a beautiful language because of the verb tenses and so many different words to describe. I told you English is the laziest language in the world. You know, we got one word for love. And so God love is, L-O-V-E is the same thing as puppy love, or is the same thing for love and chocolate ice cream. But the Greeks had different words, different tenses. And so it could emphasize a certain thing. And the tense in this word here, ask, is a perfect present tense, if I could say it that way. It means a continual asking. A continual asking. Not begging, guys. We got to throw that begging mindset out the window. But it's to ask whatever is continually your continual desire. Paul would say it this way: pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It's an intention, a desire. And you know, guys, you know that you've got one, maybe two things that's really... people will ask you to pray. I mean, sometimes somebody will ask you to pray for somebody, right? And you can pray for them, but then they kind of leave your mind, you know. But you know, there is a thing right down in here that just won't go away. Maybe a family situation, maybe a sudden need, maybe something that's just gnawing at you. You wouldn't believe every time that I began to pray, my mind is always drawn to this church, to this body right here. I mean, I want to pray for the world. I want to pray for the United States. I want to pray for all that. But I mean, I just get so focused and centered right here. I was just this past week, Friday, I'll get, You know, and I think, oh man, you know, you get enamored sometimes in numbers and things like that. But here I go Friday, and we're doing some of our work and all this around, and you know, I got one guy that he comes up, Jim, can I talk to you a minute? And then all of a sudden, he's willing to talk. You know what I mean? He's got the things up. And then as soon as I get done with that, I go back to work, and something goes, hey Jim, man, come over here, man. I want to talk. I want to ask you a question. I want to talk to you, man. And as soon as I get done with that, I go over here to this other one, and it's, hey man, come over here. Let me talk to you, man. Where's your church at? You know, what's going on? And you know, just so many. And it's just like one after another. And I think, man, there are so many people out here that is hungry for gospel, hungry for Jesus. They don't know where to go. They don't know. I mean, they've been beat up with religion and legalism. They don't know where to go, what to do. And so they're like a little puppy. You know, we talk about the little puppy that come and sniff around and run back. And they come and sniff and run back. And I say, man, I see the Lord drawing. I see the Lord drawing. So this asking. Do you know machines don't ask? I deal with machines all the time. You know, of course, you might have a smart car that, see, mine, I get a little light that comes on that says, you're almost out of gas. You don't get some, you're going to be on the side of the road. So I pull in and get some gas. I could tell you my car needs gas, but really, my car doesn't need gas. It just either runs on gas or if it's empty, it don't. It doesn't really care. A lot of people think, you know, a lot of people, we name cars, old Betsy, you know, whatever. People name trucks because they try to give it a personality, but it's just a machine, and they don't have needs. They're just a machine. Now, we may even say dogs and cats have needs, but they don't. They may act like they do, but they don't. But we are human, so asking is something specific given to us. Ask. You see? It's a human thing. It's human. And asking presupposes a relationship. Yes, yes. Do you get what I'm talking about? Listen, there is nothing worse. When I used to live down in North Carolina, down in Huntersville, there was a grocery store out there called Bilo's. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Bilo's before. Well, it's where we shopped. And you know how you kind of get to where you got your little grocery store. That's the one you go to most of the time. Convenience sake or whatever, but I got to hate going there because every time I went, they put up these signs because when you walk into the store, out front is where the buggies are before you get into the store. Well, they got big signs, no soliciting, so the people moved out of there, out into the parking lot. So you couldn't get to the daggone store before all these solicitors are all over you. Doesn't that drive you crazy? You know why? Because I have no relationship with them. There's no relationship. How about the beggar that comes up to you in the parking lot? You see him over there asking some other dude for money. You know what's going on. You might walk two rows down to get to your car to avoid the beggar. Why? Because there's no relationship. So asking presupposes a relationship. That's why I wouldn't feel bad asking Oakley for money. Me and Oakley's tight. We're tight. Ain't we, old buddy, old pal? I just see if folks paying attention. You know, Oakley's my pal. 20 would be fine, though. 20 would be fine. But here we are, this word asking presupposes a relationship. And here it is, guys, in the asking, I'm appealing to the choice of the other. Now what do I mean by that? It's the mingling of choices. I choose to ask. They choose to listen. Do you see? So in asking, there's an expecting trust. So I'm not going to ask unless I have some degree of expecting trust here. Some expectancy of being listened to. Right? Some expectancy of being responded to. Do you notice that beggars, they do it so well, they can pick out who they can pick on and who they can't? Now listen, I'm not against beggars, don't get me wrong, but that's not who we are. If God puts it in your heart to give to a beggar, knock yourself out, okay? Remember where it comes from, but you are not a beggar. Our asking is not begging. I say it every time we go to pray. Don't come up here pray, begging God for healing. Don't say if it's the Lord's will for Sydney's kidneys to be well. It's His. Don't say if it's the Lord's will for Tanner to be well. It is. Don't come up in here begging. We're going to declare something here. We never beg over that little baby right there. We never beg over that little baby. We're declaring something because it's God's will for them to be made whole.
Yes. Yes.
Okay? And it's okay for me to ask because I can ask somebody I'm in a relationship with, and in that asking, I know I'll be heard and responded to. So He said, here is the decree. Ask of Me. What this asking does, I told you this working out of the word knowing, what asking does is draws you into a deeper relationship. You know, here we are giving a praise report. Why? Because there was a need. There was a need in this little baby. And we ask and we declare something and then we get a report. It's doing well. Listen, there are some things in this life because of asking and because of need, because of these circumstances that drew you in. That's why I say God may have allowed a situation. He didn't cause the situation. He may allow it because He sees a deepening of a relationship here, because the whole thing is for you to be conformed to the image of a son. And listen, what that is into this knowing here. I mean, think about, you know, I just go back to Lottie and with her cancer. But she got into some relationship with the Lord here through that cancer that can't nobody take away. Can't nobody take you away. When God told her, I'm with you through this whole thing, nobody can ever take that away from her. That's an experience that drew her in. So God said, hey, look. Okay, she's got cancer. I could use this to deepen the relationship. Kathy, Charlotte, the same thing. Can't nobody take it away from me. So God allowed that to deepen a relationship that is so rooted and grounded that, man, so there's an asking. So what we go through here, you see what I mean? What we go through, and see, some of us now we're looking and seeing other people that are going through it, and we're just sitting over here with joy because we know that God is working in the middle of this thing to draw you into something. Yeah. Something that I can give a testimony later on down the road. But for right now, I'm over here praying with you through the thing, and I'm over here enjoying waiting on you to get, you see what I mean? Listen, we've all got some things at the time look pretty bleak. Pretty bleak. Some of my prayers has been, oh Lord. That's been the sum of all the words I could utter. Oh Lord. But there was the Holy Spirit in me. Sometimes my prayer was, Lord, I'd love to ask. I don't even know what, oh Lord. Ooh. That's been my whole prayer. But you see, I can groan to Him. I can groan to Him. And in that, listen, in that asking, you know what that means? It means I'm choosing not to believe the lie. The lie that says you can be God independent from God. The lie that says you can handle it. Why can you handle it? Because you're God. Right? Ask asking takes me right out of the middle of that, because now I realize I'm not God, and except you strengthen me, I'm going to be crushed by this thing. So now I'm getting right out of the lie, and I'm asking. So asking is bringing me into truth, because now I'm asking one who is love. I'm asking of love. I'm trusting there'll be a response. And that response, guess where the response is coming from? The response will be coming from God, who is love. Now see, I didn't know that. I heard that God was love. But look, I always viewed him as some big God over here. When I go to pray for him, the first thing he's going to do is throw my sin up, right? Oh, Lord, well, I mean, how can you come and ask of me? You ain't even been to church in 3 weeks. And you got the nerve to come up in here and ask me. So now that puts me in the position of a beggar. You know, that's exactly where I'm at over here, because now I can't come with boldness. I can't come with boldness and ask. To realize that I'm coming to ask a God who is love. Trusting there'll be a response from a God who is love. Trusting that he is vitally involved in every aspect of my life. Do you realize that? Every aspect of your life, God is vitally involved. Whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, he is. Now we try to keep him out of some parts. And he is doing everything he can to get in every little part that he can. That's why he'll take any opportunity to get into your life. Any of it. You realize that God is fascinated with your life? I don't know if you ever think about that. Your life, you may think it's boring and mundane and unexciting life. But God is excited about every detail of your life. And you realize that God wants joy in your life. Yes. I mean, and we think, well, why don't he just make it so? Why don't he just magic dust me right on into joy? Because, guys, we're not robots. We're not robots. We are people, and he wants to build this relationship that Jesus walked around in us. I'm telling you guys, you can watch the Christian movies if you want to, but don't watch it and see Jesus with that big old long face and just sad to be here. I'm telling you what, he walked around high stepping. He was in joy. He took great joy in laying hands on leper. The leper who's sitting over here walking around town, and you don't realize this, but this guy had to call unclean everywhere he went. He walked into Walmart, he had to go unclean, unclean, unclean. Every aisle he went down, unclean, unclean. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to go around just like we get a book, you know, the Scarlet Letter. And she had to wear the big letter A for committing adultery. She had to wear that Scarlet Letter. And that's what we think we got to do. We got to walk around confessing all the time. So we walk in, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. We do the same stupid stuff, right? We walk around everywhere. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. Is that what Superman was? Because he had the big S on his chest. We call him Superman. Maybe he was a sinner. I'm just a super sinner. Two S's. We do the same stuff. It's not who you are. I didn't say you don't mess up. You blow it all the time. You do. I mean, you mess it up bad. So do I. That doesn't change the fact of this relationship. And in that asking, guys, as that relationship gets deepened, you know what the response is? The response is thanksgiving. The response is joy. I mean, there's not a magic verse that I can give you that's, oh, if you quote this verse, you'll have joy for the day. Hey, if you got a verse for the day, that's good. Read it. But there is, only thing that's going to make it better is a relationship. I mean, that's all it is. So asking is a lot more than just solving a problem. There really doesn't have to be a problem at all for you to ask. You know, I mean, there's a lot of you in here married. Just think about if you only talked to your spouse when you needed something. You know, we call them honey-do lists. I don't know why us guys don't have a list for the women. We have a meeting after church. We're going to come up with our own daggone list. I'm tired of this prejudice stuff. After you give me the $20, I'll go buy some notepads and spread around so we'll get this thing solved. But you understand what I'm talking about? There's more than just asking in the time of trouble. Asking really becomes more of a conversation. And in that conversation, I never forget that I'm utterly dependent upon Him for everything. And also in that I'm utterly dependent upon Him for everything, you see, guys, I will believe the lie unless I realize He is utterly delighted to give me all things. I don't know if you get a hold of that, because see, if I don't know who God is and I find out I'm utterly dependent on Him, that puts me in a bad spot, because, man, this goes all the way back to the garden, because now I'm thinking He's withholding something from me. And Paul got a hold of this in Romans and said, He that gave a son, will He withhold any good thing from you? No good thing, or freely give you all things? For this God whose desire is to give you Himself in every aspect of life. But we think He's going to withhold. Oh, we think sin got me messed up, so He's going to withhold. He's going to teach me a lesson. Paul twice in his abundance of thanksgiving, so that all would join in thanksgiving and joy. So asking brings us out of the merely solving of problems and brings us into the joy of the relationship. And the joy of that relationship is what? Knowing. You see how these things work together? Asking brings you into the knowing. Knowing is where the joy is. It's that knowing that made Jesus leap and spin around. I thank Thee, O Father. I mean, do you ever think about the possibility of asking the Creator? The Creator who spoke and it was so, commands and it stands fast. This very Creator who was our Father, that we go and we ask, and in that asking brings us face to face with the experience of the love of God. Where is that found? In the face of Jesus Christ, who is in us and we in Him. To bring and that love, He brings us into the experience of the love that the Father has towards the Son, and the Son has towards the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the dance of that love, brings you right into that. I mean, doesn't that make you want to ask? I know you guys raise kids. Kids ever drive you crazy with questions? They don't even have a problem. What's a butterfly? What's a cloud? Why is water wet? I mean, sometimes by the end of the day, you're wore out from all the questions. But there's a drawing here. Look at it. I mean, they're so enamored with the grasshopper. And you realize that God is looking through their eyes and experiencing the joy of watching you discover a grasshopper, and He made it. But He still gets the joy out of watching a three-year-old chase a grasshopper in the grass. Do you realize that? A Creator. That's why we were made. Man, we get so religious, so far-fetched. And you being in Christ, and Christ being in you, have a continual audience with the Holy Trinity. You're in that conversation. And here's the craziest thing about it. He actually listens to you. Do you realize that? Have you ever talked to somebody who don't really listen? Besides me? Oakley's going. Oak's in trouble. He actually listens. And in that listening, there'll actually be a response. And out of that response will come out of you thanksgiving and praise. I mean, I don't know if you ever think about it, but you're actually brought into the conversation of God. And you actually get to take part in it. It was amazing to me, guys, that Abraham got to take part in that conversation. It's a heavenly conversation that you're participating in. Doesn't Paul say that? Our conversation is from heaven. Now listen, in that, there'll be times when you need to shut the door. That's a focus time. You know, Jesus would withdraw to the mountains. He would get up a great while before dawn and go pray. It was focus time. But this ask of me, guys, brings in a whole new way of life. It's how we spend every moment of life. We're in a conversation made with the Father. And as we are in Jesus, yoked by the Holy Spirit, so we pray without ceasing, and in everything, in all things, what? Give Him thanks. I don't know if you realize that or not. See, we're too busy. We don't listen. We don't realize that God wants you to be a part of this conversation, just like He did Abraham. We got to go tell Abraham. I can just see the excitement. I can see the excitement in God. I want to go tell Abraham. He called Abraham his friend. Listen, when something exciting happens in my life, you know, me and Tracy, we're talking about it. Why? Because there's a relationship there, right? I mean, the first thing when some good news hits, you know, hey, guess what happened? God wants to draw you into that conversation. You're there. Just he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this is something that we've mentioned many, many times. There is no part of life for a believer that has lived in separation. No part. This is spiritual. This is secular. This is not spiritual. That's pagan thinking. And what I mean is that God is up there and I'm over here. We got to get rid of that legalistic bondage, because it does. It puts you in the beggar's position. That legalistic says when you do this, then God will respond, right? How can you pray to God when you ain't been to church? You know, you got to go to church four times in a row before you can pray. You know, you can't go to God and pray because you didn't read your Bible enough. That's legalistic bondage. It's paganism. It's all that is. You live in Christ, who lives in the Trinity, who lives in the Father. In Jesus, we have continual response to the love that is being continually given to you. It's coming to you. It's chasing you down. It's all surrounded. It's out in front of you. It's behind you. It's on the right side. It's on the left side. It's below you. It's above you. You're in a sea of love. But, as I said last week, we've been trained to be beggars. We've been trained in separation. We've been trained in it from our youth up. Trained separation. We say, this is spiritual. This is not. Let me give you an example. It's spiritual to go to church. It's not spiritual to watch a ball game. Well, let me tell you something. Last night, I was being spiritual watching the Cowboys lose. Praying the whole time for God to get involved. For our front four defensive linemen to get spiritual and holy and stop the run game. And I was getting mad because God's favorite team is the Cowboys. Y'all think I'm silly, but it is. Jeff likes the Saints, but I keep telling Jeff he's going to go to hell. You better get on board with the Cowboys. Jeff's lost. None done. Pray for Jeff. Do you understand what I'm talking about, guys? I didn't leave some spiritual realm and come into a natural realm. I was watching a ball game in Christ. Yeah, I was watching a ball game in Christ. Listen, last week in a ball game, there was a devastating injury. This guy dislocated his ankle. He's laying there, and his leg's going one way, and his whole ankle is going the other way. This is the most gruesome injury I've seen since Joe Theismann. And in the middle of that, I saw the love of God. Watching a football game, I seen the head coach come out there holding his hand. Why would he do that? Most head coaches don't do that, but see me, I'm seeing God everywhere. I see the love of God in a head coach holding his hand. I see the love of God in both teams coming out, gathered around him in prayer. Spiritual, right there in a daggone football game, and I witnessed it. And you know, I can just feel the tears coming up in my eye because I'm watching a football game and I'm witnessing the love of God in the middle of it. It's pagan to think God's not involved. He's involved. He's involved. Do you ever watch the Olympics? I like to watch the Olympics. Are you ever amazed that a human body can do that? They can run a daggone mile in 3 minutes? It's amazing. I mean, they're doing something they didn't think 4 years ago they could do, and now they're doing it. They can run, and a human body could jump that far? And a human body could be on them little hoops and spin around and do all them flips. And a human body, it's magnificent. How about dancing? Oh, gosh, you're going to hell now. Dancing? I mean, God invented dancing. God invented dancing. You ever watch that? It's so beautiful. Let me tell you something here, guys. This is how naive I am. I'm listening to some stuff the other day. And I hear this guy talk about how wonderful Handel's Messiah is. And I thought, awesome, I want to get the book. Anybody knows about Handel's Messiah, you're already laughing. So I got my Kindle, and I'm looking for the book, Handel's Messiah, and I find out it's a daggone opera. I didn't know. I thought it was a book. And that was what I thought. They keep talking about Handel's Messiah. I want to read this book. And then I started listening to it, and then I realized that J. Vernon McGee's show comes on with Handel's Messiah. All right, I said, dang on, J. Vernon McGee's about ready to come on. But it was wonderful. You know, it was beautiful. I mean, it's really amazing. Do you ever recognize the love of God in the face of a mother for a child? It's there. It's there. How about the love of God in the first responders who will run into a daggone burning building and risk their lives to draw somebody out? You don't think that's the love of God? Well, I thought that was just a bunch of pagan sinners that never go to church. Maybe they're out there running into a burning building. How many died in New York running into those buildings up there trying to save people? Do you not see? That's the ultimate love of God right there, because he sacrificed himself. Listen, I don't have the stomach to do what Josh and them does and deal with all that. I mean, I've drove by car wrecks and they be messes, and I see people right in the middle of the blood and guts trying to put people back together again. That's the love of God right there. Do you not see that in there? We think, well, they didn't go to church. See, we got to get out of this crazy thinking. Oh, this crazy stuff, man. You begin to see the love of God everywhere. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. I mean, this is, you know, blessed are, you know, he that had eyes to see and ears to hear. It's all part of the conversation of God. Part of what? Christ all and in all. I mean, do you ever just think on that? Christ all and in all. So there's no formulas. It all flows together. All so that we can give praise and thanks. It's a relationship with the Holy Trinity. And in that, you know, there's a New Testament word, astonished. They were astonished. There's an astonishment. That word astonishment means amazement. It means I stand beside myself. You ever heard that term? He was beside himself. It's like I stand outside and I'm in amazement looking at what's going on. They were astonished. Astonished. I mean, I'm so astonished. I'm in a state of mental confusion. I can't quite get this. All I know is this guy, we knew he was blind, and he's been blind from birth. I mean, this guy didn't even have any eyes, and all of a sudden he's in the temple praising God. I don't know how it happened. I'm astonished. I heard this doctrine for the first time, and a light sprung up inside of me. We were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. He didn't speak as other men spoke. He spoke as one with authority, and we were astonished. Stood beside myself. I couldn't quite get a hold of it. A love without, I mean, a pure love without conditions. I was astonished. Astonished. Religion put us in an intellectual, put God in an intellectual vice. Well, we just thought it was... knowing God through intellectually. But it's an amazing relationship. So much so that we live in a state of wonder. A state of delight. Do you see God working in other people? Do you see Him working in you? Do you see Him working in... And you know, when I see that, I stand in amazement and delight. And I've learned sometimes to back off. Don't say that. And I see God's at work here. And He brought me over here not so I could interject some stupidity of mine, but so that I could see what He's doing. I can see how He's stirring questions up in these guys I'm talking to at work. And they want to find out more and find out more. And they're being drawn in by the love of God. You know Romans, 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, and to Him be glory. Of Him, through Him, and to Him be all things. That means whether I'm at work, whether I'm at play, whether I'm at church, whether, it doesn't matter. No secular. And because He is in all things, we are in an expecting Him always and in everything. Do you know all the blessings of God, all the promises of God were made to Jesus? All the provisions of God were made to Jesus. All the protection of God was made to Jesus. All the wealth of God was, everything was made to Jesus. Every single thing. Now this is a good thing. If you can hear what I'm telling you, because it was made to Him, and we read in Psalms 2, I've set my King on my holy hill Zion, and I've made a decree, ask of me. So all the provisions, the safety, the wealth, the everything, it's all His. All the peace, love, tenderness, kindness. Everything that is the riches of the kingdom is given to Jesus. You know what that means? It's all yours. Why? Because you are in Him. Yes. And He is in you. So I'm never asking on my merits. Right. He earned it. He got it all. It's all His, and I can ask on Him. So He says, whatever you will ask in me, knowing I did it. I've accomplished it. I can ask for my family to be well. I can ask for marriages to be restored. I can ask for healing. I can ask for riches. Why? Because He did it. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if I went to church 6 months in a row or if I didn't. He did it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Ask ask of me. Here's the decree. Ask of me. And then with joy and thanksgiving, I'm asking somebody because I know it's His delight to give it to me. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. You'll delight in me. I'll delight in you. My goodness. There's a psalm here. Let me give you another psalm. Okay, Psalms. Psalms number 95. I can get there quick. Psalms 95. I love my new tool. Verses 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to what? The rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms, for the Lord is great. And a great king above all other gods.
Yes.
I don't know if you just get that sometimes. Do you just read that and there are just words? The Lord is great. God is great. God is good. That is thank. God is great. Yes. And He's above all kings, and He's mine. And I am His. And I sit in the conversation of heaven. And He talks to me and He listens to me.
Yeah.
And He's concerned about my little old life. Do you get that? He's concerned about little old me. He's concerned about little old me. Let me give you another one. Psalm 100. Listen to this. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Wait a minute. How can lands make a joyful noise? Maybe you're the land. Maybe you're the inheritance that was given to Jesus. All ye lands, come into the land. Jesus is the land. You've come into Him and Him into you. Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What happens when the sheep gets lost? Oh, God. I'm telling you what, Dad and they grew up, they had cows. What happened when a cow got out? Psh, the heck with that cow. No, you went over there. Why? Because that's your cow. That's your sheep. I'm His. And when I got lost and went away, then He came and got me.
Yeah.
Carried me all the way back. Here I am. You're here too, the same way. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. I mean, this is covenant right here, isn't it? It's covenant. Now, how can you enter into His gates when you're already there? You ever think on these things? I mean, you're already in the presence of the Lord, so how in the world are you going to enter into His gates when you're already there? It's a good question. How do you seek the Lord when He's already there? When He's revealed. You don't seek the Lord. We hear that seek the Lord like He's way over yonder and I got to go find Him. I mean, you're in His presence. You're never out of His presence. So there's something to this term, enter into His gates. We'll look at it here real quick. Enter here means we're going to have quality time together. It's when the family shuts the door. You know, I got some things that we want to talk about and we don't want the neighbors to hear. Right? It's Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open, I'll come in and sup with you. Supper was the evening meal. Not breakfast, not lunch where we got to get back to work, but it was that meal that lingered way up through the night. They might start eating at 6 o'clock and in the evening of that meal might go on to midnight. They're just sitting around the table talking. That's enter into His gates. It's a supper time meal. You remember in Exodus, it's this word, Moses, they're trapped at the Red Sea, right? The Red Sea is before them, Pharaoh's army's behind them. And you remember these great terms here, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, we use our American definitions here and we think stand still, you know, just come to attention. But it's a military word. It's a school word. You remember when you went to school every morning, you know, the teacher get everybody's attention. And then she would start calling names. Tim Jesse. Tim Jesse would say, here. We're present. Denise Jesse here. Oakley. You see what I'm talking about? But it was, I'm here, and I'm present to this moment. I am here, and I'm present to this moment, and I'm ready now. I'm ready to get on with the day's agenda. Stand still. Bring yourself present to the moment. You with me? Present to the moment. My mind ain't over here in the future somewhere. My mind's not dwelling on the past. I'm present right here. What is the agenda right here? The agenda is Red Sea Army behind me. I'm going to stand still. God, what's on your agenda? All right, Moses, now that I got your attention, tell the people to go forward. Right? It means I put aside all other distractions. It means I'm focused. It means that stillness means I've put everything else aside. I've got one thing to do now. God, what's on your agenda? And that's the word enter. And that enter is what? Let it be with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, it's not just praise words. Listen to me right here, guys. Give me just 5 more minutes. Praise is an invisible energy force. You know, like magnetism, you can't see the magnet, but you just see that the little iron filings are sucked up to the magnet. You don't see it, but it's there. That's praise. It's a vital part of asking. And it prepares the whole scene. It's a love power that infuses this earth dimension with the heavenly presence. Because there is a heavenly presence. Praise cancels out all the negative thoughts. You realize that every negative thought you have is of the devil? Every I can't that you have is of the devil. Every one of them. Every looking down, every negative thought is of the darkness. It's of the lie. And guys, when I go back and look, I realize that my talk and my speech and my thoughts are full of them. It's there. Every time I feel down on myself, shame and guilt, you ever feel like I'm no good? It's not from God. It's from the accuser who stands there accusing the brethren day and night, always saying. Praise cancels that out. Cancels out the negative thoughts of darkness. So that when I come into prayer, I'm not praying with negative words. Do you see what I mean? I'm not praying with negative words. Just listen to yourself pray sometimes and see how much full of negativity there is. And in the midst of that, stop, stand still. Enter his gates with praise. We've been caught up into the eternal positive. We've been caught up into light. In whom there's no shadow of turning. In God who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. At all. At all. No darkness. No negative. At all. He is love and ever lives to give himself to you. Ever lives to give himself to you. Praise cancels out all the complaining. I can't complain and praise God at the same time. Praising cancels out all the bitterness, cancels out the anger, cancels out the malice, cancels out the fear and the anxiety that comes with fear. See, here's the way this thing works, and I'm going to be done right here. As an event happens in my life, circumstances, my senses go out and report. I see it, I hear it, I feel it, it's hurting me, it's crushing me. My senses go out and report it. And along with that report, I get a fleshly response. This is going to kill me. This is going to be tough. This will happen because of this, right? This will happen. This happened, so therefore this will happen. My mind starts making movies. Say the roads are going to be slick, right? So I'm all of a sudden picking a wreck out of my mind. They're going to wreck. Because that's just what the flesh does. Right? It just goes out there and goes negative. But let me tell you something. We're all faced with that. And it all comes on us in a heartbeat. In a nanosecond of time, it comes on us. My senses report it. And then I make the response. But in that, see, we got a new way to respond. Let me show you something here. in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Listen to this. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, children of Ammon, with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat after battle. See, not just one group of people came against him. Nah, see, I could get through life pretty good if just one trouble came my way, but nah, it ain't that way. I got the Moabites on this side, and Amnon on this side, so that the Ammonites over on this side, and they all came to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea and on this side of Syria. And behold, they be with Hazeth Tamar, or whatever his name is, which is in Gedi." You see, not only do I see them coming, I got all my buddies telling me they're on the way, and this is going to wear you out. This is going to crush you. Now see, my senses reported, and immediately what happens? Fear and anxiety. Now listen to what he does. And Jehoshaphat feared. It's all right to be scared. It's all right. I'm human. But in the middle of that scare, in the middle of that report, you have cancer. In the middle of the report, you have this, or this is going on. In the middle of that report, but Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. You get that? In other words, I'm present here, Lord. I'm present. Put all these other distractions away, and I'm present to seek the Lord. I'm entering in. I'm entering into something because I can enter into something.
Yes.
I can enter into the conversation. Lord, I mean, you know the Ammonites are coming, the Moabites are coming, and all these other people's coming. You know all these troubles are coming now. What are we doing about this? What is God saying about the situation? See, I don't hang around with people that's always saying negative stuff about situations. I've been around people that's saying good stuff. Now, what does that mean? That means sometimes I got to get away from all of y'all. Y'all need to get away from me, and I need to hear what the Lord is saying. What is the Lord saying here? What is God saying about this situation? See, I'm not going to stand there with the accuser who's saying the reason they're coming is because you did this, you didn't do this, and now you should be ashamed, you should have guilt, you should have all these things. I mean, what is God saying about this situation? I'm needing something here. You know, Paul would begin to write and say, you know, there's a faith here. This faith that comes up and says, don't say in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven to bring Christ down? Or who shall ascend, descend down into the depths? The word is nigh thee. The word is even in thy mouth. There was a word for praise in the Old Testament. It's called confession. Confession means to say the same thing as. I'm coming into the conversation of God, and I'm saying the same thing of God in the situation. I say, Lord, in this situation is this and this. God, what are you saying about it? And he says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth with me, Jesus is Lord. What do you say about this situation, God? Jesus is Lord. You with me? Jesus is Lord. Family's all to pieces. Sickness everywhere. What do you say about it? Jesus is Lord. If thou shalt say, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, not only raised him, set him far above all principalities and powers. And guess where you are? Above all of those things too. You're in him. And what's the conversation? Jesus is Lord. There are some terrible situations that can happen. Listen, guys, when I was looking at this, I was reading the scriptures, and I see one of these prophets, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what do you see? All I see is a bunch of dead bones. Can they live? I don't know, Lord. All I see is a mess. All I see is death everywhere. Death is everywhere. But somehow in a conversation, he starts to hear, and God says, speak. I'm going to join with your speaking. God says, Patty, I'm going to join in with your speaking. Just as we join in with his speaking, we join in with his speaking. Jesus is Lord. Now he says, I'm going to join in with your speaking. What do you see? Prophesy to the bones. Speak to the wind. Those things began to come together, guys. They become together. And they rose up a great army. An army of God. Now listen, guys, that's past tense. Because he says, in that day, when I draw you up out of your graves, you will know. We're back to knowing again. You will know. In that day, you will know. John wrote about it. Jesus spoke about it. In that day, you'll know. I've called you up out of the graves. There's no more of a valley of dry bones, but yet there's a mighty army of God standing upright, walking in Christ Jesus, following the Lamb wheresoever he goes. He didn't even stop there. He said, go get me two sticks. Take them sticks and put them together. Write two names on that stick. I love how he says, on one stick write the name of Jesus, and on the other stick write the name of Jim Moore, and put them sticks together and hold them in your hand, and these two sticks will be one stick, and this is the house of Israel, and this is what it is. We're one with him. I have set my king on my holy hill, and then the hill is Mount Zion. And Paul, I can see him leaping up when he wrote Hebrews and says, you know what, guys, you innumerable angels, all the saints that are gathered there, and to Jesus. That's where we are, guys. That's where we are. You are more powerful than you know. God bless you. Good night.